As we said, we're not starting Pesach prep just yet, but today we're going to talk a little bit about the Haggadah, a little bit about Seder night, but that's not the main focus of what we're talking about today. Today what we're going to be learning is about the Parsha, but we know it's really a double Parsha. It's only Parsha Shmini, but we have a special Maftir. The special Maftir is, of course, the Maftir of Parshas HaChodesh. And when we talk about Parshas HaChodesh, I don't think people understand the significance. Sometimes people think that we only learn Parshas HaChodesh because it's actually an introduction to the Karban Pesach. And as some people say, that we got to get ready. You don't know how quickly Mashiach could come, right? It's on this week's Parsha that there's a special mitzvah in Parsha Shmini. There's a special commandment that you look in the Rambam. The Rambam seems to quote a daya that Bizman Hazeh, a Kohen is not allowed to drink a revius of Yayin. Kohen. Anyone here know a Kohen? So when you look in the Rambam, it could be that according to the Rambam, a Kohen is not allowed to drink a revius of Yayin. Why not? Because maybe the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt and you're going to have a drunk Kohen in it. You're not going to have a Kohen to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Balbavitcher Rebbe is Chosigin Aleinu asks, one second. We know that the Gemara tells us if a Kohen drinks a Revi'ah Sayayin, all he needs to do is sleep a little, or he needs to walk a mil. That's about 18, 24 minutes. And we assume that the effects of wine has gone away, and then he could serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Elamai, think about what this means. Again, of course, Balbavitcher Rebbe said this. Think about what this means. You know what this means according to the Rambam? That from the time the Beis HaMikdash, the third Beis HaMikdash comes till we're ready to bring karbanos, will be less than 24 minutes. Think about it. It's a wild idea. Can you imagine within a half hour from now the Beis HaMikdash is going to be there, ready to do karbanos? Is that wild? And that's what the Rambam quotes a shita lahalacha. Lahalacha, because we know in this week's parsha, Perek Yud, Pasuk Tes, Yayin v'shechar al teish, ato v'necha itach, so it's really in a wild idea. It's a wild, wild idea. The Lubavitcher Rebbe is sharing with us that it could be like this. It could be like this. So Parshas HaChodesh tells us that we have to know the laws of Karban Pesach. Because maybe you're going to bring a Karban Pesach this year. Maybe you're going to have to bring that sheep. Maybe you're going to have to bring that goat as a Karban. However, there's also another very, very important message about Parshas Chodesh, and this maybe answers a very famous question in the Haggadah. Because at one point in the Haggadah, we say, Yachol Meirosh Chodesh. What does Yachol Meirosh Chodesh mean? It's towards the beginning of Magid. We say, Yachol Meirosh Chodesh. I might have thought that the mitzvah of Sipri Yitzias Mitzrayim begins Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Why should the mitzvah of Sipri Yitzias Mitzrayim begin on Rosh Chodesh Nisan? What happened on Rosh Chodesh Nisan? I understand. B'layla hazeh, it's the night of Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's the night that we have to tell the story. Yachol Rosh Chodesh. I might have thought that the mitzvah Sipri Yitzias Mitzrayim already starts from Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So to really understand what that means, to understand really what Rosh Chodesh Nisan means, we have to look at Parshas HaChodesh. And when we look at Parshas HaChodesh, we know, of course, it's the laning from Parshas Bo, Perek, Yud Beis, Pas starts in Pasuk Aleph. And the key to it maybe is in fact in Pasuk Aleph. Vayedaber Adonai el Moshe ve'el Aaron be'eretz Mitzrayim lemor. Hashem says to Moshe and Aaron in the land of Egypt, say. Why does the Pasuk have to tell us where they are? Where do we think Hashem is speaking to Moshe and Aaron? Where are Moshe and Aaron? Moshe came back from Midian. Moshe came to Mitzrayim. Him and Aaron are in Egypt, of course. Why does the Pasuk have to highlight Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe ve'el Aaron the Eretz Mitzrayim Lemar? So now let's take a little bit of a dive. Let's take a dive further into the year, or actually maybe rewind back a little bit into the year. And let's go to Slichos. Let's go to Shema Koleinu. Because in Shema Koleinu, there's a pasuk that might be the key to all of Parshas HaChodesh, to really understanding Parshas HaChodesh, to understanding a very, very cryptic teaching of the Arizal that we'll get to soon. But we know that there's a pasuk that we say is part of the responsive verses in Shema Koleinu. That's a pasuk in Tehillim Perek Ayin Aleph, pasuk Tes. And what's that pasuk? Al Tashlichenu Le'ezekna. We ask Hashem not to abandon us. Don't throw us away, la'ezikna, towards the time of old age. And the Degel Machaneh Ephraim, we've quoted him before, Zechusig and Elena, quoting his grandfather, the Baal Shem HaKadosh, the founder of the Hasidic movement, says, I don't understand, what does it mean, al tashlichenu le'ezikna? Hashem could toss a person away at any time. There are people who are young, Rahman al-Islam, that have tremendous sorrows, that also cry out to Hashem, al tashlichenu, don't toss me away. Why dafka al tashlichenu le'ezikna? And this idea that the Degel quotes from his grandfather, the Baal Shem HaKadosh, I've heard from my father, heard from my cousin Rav Shmuel Marcus, a Rav in Queens, Rebbe Lander is the name of his grandfather, Rav Aaron Salvechik. That Rav Aaron also, I don't know if you saw it in the Degel, I would assume he came to it on his own. I don't know that he learned Degel Machne Ephraim, briskers. But the idea is that Al Tashlichenu Le'Zikna has nothing to do with physical age. It has nothing to do, meaning the Bakasha, the request of God, isn't about physical capacity. You know what Al Tashlichenu Le'Zikna means? It means, Hashem, do not let my relationship with you grow stale. Let my relationship with you, let my mitzvahs, let my davening, let my learning, let my chesed, let my attempts at shmiras halashon, let it not grow old. Let me always be able to have that freshness in my avodas Hashem. Because we know that the way of the world, the way of the physical world, the aging process, is that a person, as they get older, mobility gets less and physical abilities might weaken. And so too, if a person's not careful in the olam aruchni, in the spiritual world, without proper care, what happens? Davening becomes old. Learning becomes a chore. Attempts at shmiras halashon become hackneyed and old stuff. And so the Degel is telling us, in the name of his grandfather, what we know from what he quotes from the famous Medrash on the Pasuk in Shema, the Pasuk, V'hayu advarim ha'el asher nochim etzavcha hayom, right? Why does it say hayom? So the Medrash says there in Devarim, Vavav, meaning Parshas Vatzchanan, first paragraph of Shema, that b'chol yom yu ve'enecha kechadoshim, that each and every day, Torah, a relationship with Hashem, is supposed to be new. So now it's a beautiful idea. It's a beautiful bakasha. But where does it come from? How does it not grow old? So the Shem Yishmuel points out that the essence, the key to being able to have kiyum in relationship with Hashem has to have that sense of his chadshus. You have to have that sense of renewal. It has to come from a place of b'chol yom yu v'enecha k'chadoshim, but how do we get to that? How do we get to b'chol yom yu v'enecha k'chadoshim? That every day we're excited, every day there's a passion, every day we look at davening with the same excitement that we had when we really understood, when we really felt the kirvas elokim, litov. And so the Degel says, again, Hasidic approach, that you have to be mizbonin on one phrase in davening. And you have to think about it over and over again. And this phrase is in fact the pathway, the key, to unlocking his chadshus. And what is that? A phrase that we say in davening, ha-mechadish b'tuvo, b'chol yom tamid ma'aseh v'reishus, that the one in his goodness renews each and every day the act of creation. And the Degel says that when a person is mizbonin on this, when a person thinks about it, when a person really harves over it, so when you say it over and over, like sort of in a meditative state, that unlocks that sense of newness. It unlocks that ability to find his chadshus. However, the Sfas Emes, Chusagin Aleinu, the Gei Rebbe, he has a little bit of a different approach, picking up on what we said. He said, where do you find things growing old? Where do you find that? In the world of the physical. In the world of the physical, that's what it is. In the world of anything that is physical, ultimately, in the world of Teva, doesn't have kiyum. It all goes through a process of growing older, and ultimately we know, you know what they say about the sun? They say one day, I don't know how many millions of years, the sun is our sun, the sun in our solar system, the Milky Way. What's going to happen to the sun? The prediction is that the sun is going to flame out, right? There is such a notion, right? The stars that flame out, that anything in physical world ultimately loses kiyum, but Zok Desvas Emes, such an important teaching. What has kiyum la olam void?
things that are not bound by nature. What's not bound by nature? The Olam Haruchni. In the spiritual world, we are not bound by nature. In fact, there's a wild medrash, and I'm sure you've heard of this medrash before. This is the medrash when a little girl in my shul asked me, a 7-year-old girl, said, "Rabbi, where did the dinosaurs come from?" So, no, you never heard that question before? From your kids? Or, no, you know, like, so you got to be ready. Like, 7-year-old, I yell it, "Rabbi, where did the dinosaurs come from?" I'm like, "I yell it, that's a great question." So you know what the medrash says? That before our world, Hashem built worlds and destroyed them. That's a medrash. In Bereshis Rabba, Bona Olamos Umacharivon. That Hashem created worlds and destroyed them. So the dinosaurs were from one of those worlds before our world. It's like, "Oh, thank you." And then just like runs along, like 7-year-old kid. Perfect. So innocent. They bought the answer, right? That was it. Okay, wonderful. Give out. If that does it for you, awesome, I yell it. Great. Go on. Right? But the Noam Elimelech, the Rebbe Melech, again, Eleni's yard site was earlier this week. He says such a deep Torah. What does it mean, Bone Olamo Sumacharivan? That ultimately, between the physical and the spiritual worlds, they're not the same. They're qualitatively totally different. Until Hashem was able to create the synthesis, what's the message of Bone Olamo Sumacharivan? The message of Bone Olamo Sumacharivan is that the physical world is really a totally, totally different bria than the Olam HaRuchni, than the spiritual world. The physical doesn't have kiyum. The physical world, worlds are created and destroyed, but yet, Ruchnius is chai la'olam. The Ruchnius, the spirituality, is forever. Remember the story I told you about Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach when he was that little boy in Yerushalayim? Remember when he told his mother that by giving away that bowl of soup and that piece of toast, I have it forever. If I would have eaten it, it would have lasted me till, you know, maybe the morning, maybe till lunch. But now I have it forever. A young boy understood that the two worlds, Bone Olam Usuv Macharivan, that's what the Noam Elimelech says. And so Zoktis Vazemes, this is how we find his chadshus. We find his chadshus by recognizing that the true I, the true me, is not this physical goof. But rather, Elokai Neshama Shenasata B'Torid, that our neshamas, Rav Aryeh Kaplan, again, I've told you before, one of my favorite books, one of the most important books everyone has to read. If you never read it, you have to read it once. If You Were God. Very simple. Put out by Rav Aryeh Kaplan for NCSY, I think in the late 70s. It's maybe 60 pages. It's like a pamphlet. The OU, NCSY recently republished it. If you've never read it, do yourself a favor. Buy it and read it. It's all Kabbalah, it's all Derech Hashem, just written in Rav Aryeh Kaplan's very simple, very beautiful way. And he says, he asks a person, point to yourself. Ask a person to point to themselves. Don't worry, I'm not going to go around now and point to yourself, right? No one wants to be put on the spot. You ask a person, point to yourself. What do most people do? Right? Ask a person, point to yourself. So most people go like this. Rav Aryeh Kaplan said, if you'd really stop and think for a second, and someone asks you to point to yourself, where should you point? You should point here. And again, writing in the 70s, Rav Aryeh Kaplan says, it's not so crazy to think of a day where, this is what he writes, they'll be able to download everything that's on your brain into a computer and upload it into a different brain. It's why, I mean, it's wacky. Yeah. Like science fiction stuff that might be sooner than we think, right? It's not so crazy. Rav Aryeh Kaplan was writing this in the 1970s. But when you think about it, who are you? You are not this. You are this, right? When we have to think about what a Jew is, Zoktis Vasemis, you know how we have his chadshus? You know how you can tap into what is the most vital ingredient to have a relationship with Hashem? Is by recognizing that we are not bound by Teva. We are not bound by nature. And that's why Zoktis Shem Nishmuel, again, the Sachachavar is Chusagin Aleinu. That's why the first mitzvah Hashem gives us. This is the first mitzvah, right? If you look in the beginning of Bereshis, Rashi famously asks, why do I need all Bereshis? Lo hayatzarech lahaschil esatorah ela meachodesh hazel lochem. Shehi mitzvah rishona. Rashi says, the first Rashi ala Torah. Rashi says, I don't need all Bereshis. I don't need Shemos. I don't need Va'era. I don't need half of Parshas Bo. start the whole Torah with HaChodesh Zeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim, the first mitzvah. So why is this the first mitzvah? I think we shared a few months ago the answer of the Sfarno, which is also very, very contemporary. Anyone remember what the Sfarno is? Why is HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim the first mitzvah? Because what is HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem? What is the mitzvah? The mitzvah is about time. And the Sfarno points out, Rav Salvechik says it over beautifully in a shir on Sfiras HaOmer, that I think your father has in one of the volumes that he edited for the Salvechik Heritage Center, that a slave has no time consciousness. A master goes into a slave and says, at 3 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, come out for 5 minutes, come out for 5 hours, come out for 5 days, or 5 weeks. The slave doesn't say anything. The slave has no opinion. Because a slave's time is not her own, is not his own. And so the Sfarno says, when Hashem gives them time, when they're still in Eretz Mitzrayim, what's he doing? He's giving them the beginning of freedom. I'm giving you the ability to decide what you're going to do with your time. Is there any greater freedom than that? Now you get to decide what you're going to be doing. That's a tremendous thing. That's what the Sfarno says. And again, in an age of cell phones, right? In an age when we have so many time-saving devices, but yet somehow we don't have any time to think. We don't have any time to reflect for some metacognition because this somehow steals all our time. Talk about being a slave to something, right? Talk about being a slave. So in terms of using time, that's a Sfarno. But Zok Tishei Mishmuel, you know why Hashem has to give us the first mitzvah of HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim? Because where were the Jewish people in Egypt? Where were they? Where were they spiritually? They were 49th level of Tumah down. They were at almost the lowest of the low. They were in the low, the Medrash says, a little bit more in Egypt, they would have sunk to the 50th level, and then who knows if they would have been able to get out. But why does Hashem give them the mitzvah of Rosh Chodashim, Zok the Shem Yishmuel? Because when you're on the 49th level of Tumah, when you're suffering so much spiritually and suffering so much physically, I'm giving you the ability to recognize that you are not bound by Teva, you're not bound by nature, you're not defined by your past. You have the ability, no matter what traumatic experiences you live through, to redefine, to recreate, to renew. When you think about Holocaust survivors that you know, unfortunately I told you, Maishel, it's you know, there's not one left in Maishel. The last one passed away on Simchas Torah night, the last Holocaust survivor. And her grandson said, Rabbi, it's good my grandmother passed away because if she saw what happened, it would have killed her. It would have killed her. Her burial was mamish, Isru Chag Yontif. That's when she was buried, the last Holocaust survivor in Maishel. But I think about what this woman went through. Think about how her family on the Matzeva for her plan on putting the names of her whole family on the back. She was like the only survivor of her family. But yet, what did she do? She built a Jewish home. She raised Jewish daughters, Jewish grandchildren, Jewish great-grandchildren at their bar and bat mitzvahs. Is there any greater ischachus than that? But that's what the thing about where the Jewish people were. They were in Egypt for 210 years, and for 96 of those years, it was torturous, genocidal plans of Paro, right? People throw around that word. Paro had that plan. Kill all the males, steal the females as our wives. The tribe of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is gone. They will cease to exist. They will be swallowed up, literally wipe out the Jewish people. That was Paro's plan. And the Jewish people were broken. Again, we've described in graphic detail, right? Paro every day, how many toddlers he bathed in their blood to make his tzaras feel better. It was the only thing that made his tzaras feel better. Right, that very graphic picture in the Gadi Palak Haggadah. I say that's the only Haggadah I know that's PG-13. The Gadi Palak Haggadah, there's some pictures that a little kid should not look at. You know what I'm talking about? You have to get... Revolbi says on Seder night, you have to use the power of your imagination. I mean, Chayv Adam Liros Asatmo, you're really supposed to think and imagine being there, experiencing it. Gadi Palak, who is an artist, did a lot of Rebarch Chait's Bad Midos Pirates book. No? You're not holding in the Bad Midos Pirates? So if you know the Bad Midos Pirates, so that's Gadi Palak.
Yiddish cup, right?
Yes, he does Yiddish cup also, right? That's the new. So he has an Haggadah that the pictures, I mean, his picture of Kriyas Yamsuf, Imam, she opened it up. And my kids know we have three of them in our house. Because I like to use one. That's Haggadah. I don't use the Haggadah with the Lamedes. I use the Haggadah with the great pictures. Because that's what Seder night is about. The Lamedes is before. The Vartlach are before. And he has pictures in there that, you know, Paro bathing in the blood of the Jewish children. Of, you know, and it was horrific. So there they are, spiritually in the lowest place, physically in the lowest place. And now, oh, get up, let's go. What are you talking about? How am I supposed to get up and go? How am I leaving here? So that's why the first mitzvah that Hashem gives, Zok Tashem Yishmuel, HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem. And that's why, where does the pasuk tell us Hashem gave this mitzvah to Moshe and Aaron? Where? The Eretz Mitzrayim. In the land of constriction, Meitzar, Min HaMeitzar, from the place of intense distress, from the narrow straits, Mitzrayim was a land of constriction. A land of pulling people down spiritually, emotionally, psychologically. Paro of Gedaliah Shor Zatzal in his Or Gedaliah says, Paro was a master propagandist. He writes it all out. And like one of those words, you're like, wait, what does this mean? Oh, refrigerator. And Ramosha's children. Right, what's that big long word? Oh, refrigerator. Okay. Right? So he says, Paro was a master of propaganda. That's what he writes. He was an unbelievable spin doctor, meaning because in Egypt, they totally swallowed up the lower castes, physically, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, broke them. So how are they getting out? So that's why Hashem gives them this mitzvah of his chadshus, even in, where? Eretz Mitzrayim. Even in Eretz Mitzrayim. And that's why, what's the symbol of this mitzvah? What's the symbol of this mitzvah? The symbol of this mitzvah is the moon. Why the moon? Because think about the moon cycle. We said everything in the physical world gets bigger and bigger, bigger, reaches its climax, its apex, the summit, and then it goes down and then it disappears, right? And that's what happens to the moon also. The moon waxes, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and then what happens? You come the midpoint of the month, about the 15th and a half, then it starts to wane. Until what happens to the moon? It disappears entirely. And what's the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh? The mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh is when you see the molad, right? They are going to announce the Shabbos, the molad for the month of Nisan. That's that first reappearance of the new moon. That's the whole symbol of what Kiddush HaChodesh is. That the Jewish people are not bound by these laws of nature, right? Yaakov Shweki has the song. I'm not going to sing it. We are a miracle. Mamish, it's Emes. It's Emes. Think about it. Think about where we are learning Torah. Let's go through all our backgrounds, where we all came from, where our grandparents were from, where our great-grandparents were from. How many generations of torture and hardship did your ancestors go through so you could be sitting learning Torah here in Teaneck, New Jersey? It's like wild when you think about it. Rabbi Yaakov Emden, in fact, writes to the introduction to his Siddur, says, you know what the proof of God's existence is? The existence of the Jewish people. That's what Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes. Says the fact that we're here learning Torah right now proves Hashem exists. Because as Mark Twain famously said, what happened to the Egyptian, the Babylonian, the Chaldean, the Persian, the Greek, the Roman? What happened to all of them? All their empires are nothing. And who outlived all of them? The eternal Jew. The eternal Jew. John Adams said that, you know, the Jewish people are like the proof of not only Rabbi Yaakov Emden. There were great secular thinkers and statesmen who saw the continuity of Jewish existence as a proof of divine being. And that's the message of the moon. And this is what we have to recognize, the Shem Yishmuel says, and the Sfas Emes says. That you know how you can find this chad just by recognizing that you are not this physical being. But what does it mean? It means when you come to your mitzvahs can't only be with the outer spiritual shell. The mitzvahs have to come from a place of penimius. There's a famous story that the Baal Shem HaKadosh famously would often just get onto the wagon, have a whole chevra of his join him on the wagon, and then they would start just riding off. He had a non-Jewish wagon driver. It was a famous stories. Many stories about this. People would just load up on the Baal Shem HaKadosh's wagon, and they would just go off. And the Hasidim never knew where they were going. But they were on an adventure with the Baal Shem HaKadosh. So it was always a good time. And one time they're going in the wagon, late afternoon, going for hours and hours. It's already like 10 o'clock at night. And the Baal Shem says to the wagon driver, stop here in this little town. It's time to daven mincha. Okay? You're a Litvak if you ask, what does that mean? You're like, okay, daven mincha, 10 o'clock at night. It's okay. Don't worry. So they finally come into a little shtiebel in this little town, and everyone starts going, there's no one there at 10 o'clock at night, right? They're going into daven, and the Baal Shem HaKadosh is about to walk in, and he stands there, right by the door to the shtiebel. And Baal Shem is looking around, Chassidim see, he's looking around, and tells Chassidim, guys, let's go, come back. They're like, it's getting late, even for Chassidim, 10 o'clock at night, it's a little late for mincha, it's getting late, Rebbe. He says, but we can't daven mincha here. Let's get back on the wagon. They're like, why couldn't we daven mincha there? He said, there was no room for us in that shtiebel. They were like so confused. Rebbe, what do you mean there was no room for us in that shtiebel? It was empty. He said, that room was full of dead tefillos. They said, what do you mean? When a person says a tefillah only from the mouth, not from the heart, that tefillah doesn't descend to Shemayim. That tefillah stays in this world. Yes, a person fulfills a mitzvah of tefillah. Sometimes you just got to get the words out. And just to create that space, to daven, fulfilling that halachic obligation, yes, that brings you closer to God. But for the tefillahs to go up and for the tefillahs to have the effect that we hope our tefillahs have, there has to be a chiyus to it. There has to be a panemius to the tefillah. It can't be something just external, something physical. And so the Baal Shem said, there's no room in the shtiebel. The tefillahs are there. It's suffocating us. Our tefillahs, it's going to be very hard for them to break through all these tefillahs to get up when we're preparing for Pesach, right? Not in my house. My wife does it b'simcha mleya. She never gets frustrated. Anyone who knows my wife, please tell her that she... But I've heard from people that sometimes during Pesach, getting ready, the wives get stressed out and they might yell at kids and... Right? But we have to understand, when we're getting ready for Pesach, removing chametz from the homes, there's no chametz in the Beis HaMikdash except twice a year. You're making your home into a Beis HaMikdash. You're making your home into a place of Ashras HaShchina. When we go through all the yegiyah, through all the toil, and making sure that everything's ready, don't just do it with your guf. Do it with your neshama. Do it with a sense of panemius, of simcha, that you're being able to serve Hashem in this way. Removing the chametz, removing the yeshus, removing the gaiva, and again, we're not going to start talking about this. There's a lot that we could talk about on that level. But understand the avod of getting ready for Pesach. It's all about the perspective that you bring to it. And so that's what we have to try to do, to make sure we bring the ruchni perspective with us. Not to do everything on a physical level. Because again, our tefillahs is the ultimate example. Moshe Wolfson writes in his Sefer Vani Tefillah, Mashgiach of Torah V'das, that to say a tefillah without kavana is like you're bringing a carbon without any machshava. You're not yotze, the carbon. It won't be rejected from the mizbeach, but the machshava is integral to the carbon being merutzah lefnei Hashem, to be that reach nichoach l'Hashem. And so that's what we have to see when we come to a Parshas HaChodesh, to understand what's going on, that this is the greatest koach. And now why we understand a little bit of Yochal Meirosh Chodesh. Why would we think that we start the mitzvah Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim next Tuesday? Why would we think that mitzvah Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim already begins Tuesday? Yochal Meirosh Chodesh, I might think from Rosh Chodesh. Because what is Rosh Chodesh? Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the first mitzvah, is the beginning of the ascent of the Jewish people. That's the beginning of the redemption, where the Jewish people saw themselves at level 49 of Tumah, having been broken, as we said, physically, spiritually, emotionally, psychologically. But yet it was the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh that gave the Jews the ability to say, we can create ourselves anew. We can be something different. We're not stuck in this place. And that's why there's such an amazing teaching of the Arizal. Now here's where it's going to... Amazing, amazing. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us that there's a machlokes, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, when the world was created. One opinion is the world was created in Tishrei. The other opinion is that the world was created in Nisan. We seem to pass in Tishrei, right? Why? Because what do we say on Rosh Hashanah? We say after we blow shofar, Hayom Haras Olam. Today is the conception of the world. And traditionally we believe that Adam and Chava were created on Aleph Tishrei, the first day of Tishrei. So clearly that's what we're posking, right? No, not so fast. Tosus already points this out. Many Rishonim point this out, that it's not really a machlokas in Metzias. It's a machlokas in what is the main creation. But there were really two creations. The way the Arizal says it is that Tishrei was the conception, the Heirayon, and Nisan was the Leda. Nisan was the birth. So what does that mean? The world was created by Machshava and thought. It didn't really exist in Tishrei. I thought we just said Adam and Chava is born in Tishrei. Aleph Tishrei. Hayom Haras Olam. So what the Avodas Yisrael, the Chusa Ginaleinu, the Heilige Kozhnitzer Magid explains the Arizal, is that no. Of course, the physical Metzias, physical reality, was created in Tishrei. That was Tishrei. That's the Heirayim. But physical reality is only the conception. Why? Because what's the Tachlis Habriya? What's the real purpose for all of existence? As the Sfas Emes says, the Iker Tachlis Habriya is to be Megalik Kvod Shemayim in this world. To reveal the greatness of Hashem, to realize the glory of Hashem in this world. That's the purpose. When did that happen? That happened in Nisan. That happened with Yetzias Mitzrayim. So that's what the Arizal is telling us. And that's why it's a little bit of a Rosh Hashanah coming up. It's a little bit of Yom Kippur, Shabbos HaGadol. The great Shabbos was Yud Nisan. Yud Nisan was the great Shabbos. That was the year in Egypt. And many say there are connections between Shabbos HaGadol, believe it or not, and Yom Kippur. And then, of course, first day Pesach is the same, the mirror image of first day of Sukkot, both on the 15th of the month. So that means Rosh Chodesh Nisan is Rosh Hashanah. And it's a Rosh Hashanah of Ava. Tishrei is Bechinas Yira, because we know when Hashem first created the world, with which midah did Hashem create the world? Bereshis Bara Elohim es Hashamayim v'Esaretz. The first parak of Bereshis, you only have shame of Gevura. The shame of Din. When the world was first created, and that's why. Yom Naram is a scary time. Not a simple time, Yom Naram. I don't know about Yershul, but Maishul, we start Nisan HaTokif, you hear the sobbing. You hear it. Ni'ilah, people are screaming, hysterically crying at the top of their voices. Right? It's a scary thing. But when we come to Nisan, we have the same. Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Shabbos HaGadol, Pesach, but from a place of kulo ava, from a place that's all love. And this is what Parshas HaChodesh is. It's helping us realize what Rosh Chodesh Nisan is, the Chashivas. And by the way, where else do we see the significance of Rosh Chodesh Nisan, aside from Parshas HaChodesh? In this week's Parsha. What's this week's Parsha? Parsha Shemini. What is the eighth day? What was the eighth day that we're talking about in this Parsha? Aleph Nisan. The eighth day was Aleph Nisan. Right now, the last week of Adar, that's the Shivas Yemei Miluim. When Hashem's presence did not come down on the Mishkan, when Moshe is acting Kohen Gadol, Moshe is doing all the Avodah by himself, Aaron and his sons are staying there, watching everything for 7 days. Vayihi bayom hashmini, and it was only first then on the eighth day that what? That Hashem's presence comes down. And what was that eighth day, as we said? That eighth day was Aleph Nisan. And the Medrash tells us that the simcha of the day of Hakamas HaMishkan was greater than the simcha of Bria Shamayim Va'aretz. You hear what we just said? You hear what the Medrash tells us? The simcha of establishing the Mishkan was greater than the simcha of the day of creation. Why? Because creation was only what? That was Bria Beheirayim, the physical. But the day of Aleph Nisan here, the day of Aleph Nisan coming out of Mitzrayim, the whole purpose of Bria, and this is in all of the Sifrei Kabbalah, all of the Sifrei Chassidus, Look in the Tanya. The whole purpose of creation, Hashem says, is to create a mother lilach batachtonim, to create a place for me to live in the lower world. That was the Mishkan. There was no greater joy. And Zokta Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zechusagin Aleinu, why is it referred to as Bayom Hashmini? Especially, there's a medrash that says this was a significant day. There were 10 firsts that happened on this day. The medrash says 10 firsts. On Aleph Nisan, that second year when they came out of Egypt, 10 things happened for the first time. But yet the pasuk refers to it as Bayom Hashmini. Why? So Zokta Lubavitcher Rebbe, listen to this, it's unbelievable. Because we know, what does the number 7 represent in Judaism? What does the number 7 represent in Judaism? The Maral tells us, it represents physical completion. 7 days of the week, 7 colors in the rainbow, 7 years in an agricultural cycle. In the physical world, 7 is the notion of completion. But what does 8 represent? 8 represents, the Maral says, going beyond nature. The Bris Milah is on day 8 because the sign of the Bris is a symbol that the Jewish people are not normal. We're not natural. We are a miracle. Right? That's what 8 is. So Zokta Lubavitcher Rebbe, Vayihi Bayom Hashmini, and it was on the 8th day. What do you mean it was the first day? No, it was the 8th day. It was the 8th day. That's what this is all about. This is about us recognizing our Yecholas. Don't sell yourself short. Don't sell yourself short. Don't sell any Jew short. Because the power of Ischach is the very first mitzvah that resides in each and every Jew, shows us that we have the capacity to get through anything. And we will get through anything. And we are getting through everything. Doesn't mean we get through it untouched, unaffected. But this is the koach of Ischachus, and that's why Zokta Lubavitcher Rebbe, even though this was really the first day, this was a new beginning. There was no Eish from Shemayim. This is the day that Aaron HaKohen is the Kohen Gadol. There's so many, again, the Medrash says 10 firsts, but yet we call it the 8th. It should be day 1. But Zokta Lubavitcher Rebbe, no, it's day 8. Because the Haschalah here of Hashem coming to rest His presence amongst the Jewish people, in no way was normal. In no way was natural. And as Jews, that's what we have to remember, that we are, all of us, each and every one of us, we are me'al ha-teva. We have this ability. We have this yicholas to go beyond. But we have to know that it has to be in our day in and day out. We have to bring this belief into our avoda, to believe in our tehillim every day, to believe in our learning every day, to believe in our tzedaka. To know what we're doing makes a tremendous difference. And this is why Yachal Mirosh Chodesh, we would think maybe, because that was really the beginning. The beginning of redemption started on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, when Hashem gives this mitzvah Be'eretz Mitzrayim. But now to shift a little bit from Parshas HaChodesh into Parshas Shmini, though, right after we read about the 8th day, so we read of some karbanos that the Jewish people bring. And this also has tremendous, tremendous application to Pesach, as we'll get to. We'll go a little overtime. Yeah, a little overtime. Well, we know this year doesn't really end at 11:50. We all know, right? Okay? Even though we've actually started closer to on time today, but we're not going to. Okay. Anyone has to go, please feel free to go. It's all good, right? But I'm going to share with you my favorite vart on all of Lel Seder. And I'm sure you've heard it before, but it's kedai to chazer it over every year because you really don't understand, I think, the second most important message of Seder night without knowing this, without remembering this deep Torah. And it's related to a pasuk in the Parsha. The Jewish people, Aaron is told he has to bring an Egel ben Bakar l'chatas. The Jewish people are told to bring a Sir Izim l'chatas. Why does Aaron have to bring an Egel as a carbon chatas, a sin offering, the first day of the Mishkan? What sin did Aaron do with an Egel? He made the Egel, right? What do you mean? He made the Egel. The Medrash Torah's Kohanim, the halachic Medrash on Vayikra, Sifra, not Vayikra Rabba. That's more stories and what we think of as Jewish. But in the Torah's Kohanim, say, why the Jewish bring a series of Melchatos? Why the Jewish people bring a series, on the first day of the Mishkan, why do they bring a series of Melchatos? Why do they bring a goat as a sin offering? You know what the Medrash says? Because it all began with the sin of a goat. What sin of a goat did it all begin with? What sin of a goat? Yosef. Because the brothers stole his coat. And what did they dip it in? They dipped it in goat's blood. So here, and so many people talk about this. There's a famous story with the Imre Emes when he went to Eretz Yisrael to try and make peace between Rav Kook and Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. His drasha was about this. Not exactly, a few psukim later, but the same yesod here. That to create a space for God in this world, the prerequisite has to be that what? That the Jewish people get along. It's the prerequisite. The prerequisite to keep create space for God in this world is that the Jewish people had to get along. You want to create a mother, you want to create that abode for God in this world, it has to have as the foundation that the Jewish people are getting along, right? We spoke about the perfume shop at Har Sinai. What was the perfume shop at Har Sinai? The fact that the Jewish people were all there. Vayichan Shem Yisrael neged Har Kishechad b'lev echad. One family, one heart, even though we weren't, that's what we were. And so here by the Mishkan, again, the same thing. We have to bring that goat as a sin offering for the sin that the brothers did against Yosef so many years ago. And that's how you build the Mishkan. That's how you begin the Mishkan. So now this, again, I'm sure many of you have learned this before, but it's kedai each year to remember this, right? And what is it? Where do we talk about Yosef's coat on the night of Seder? Where do we talk about Yosef's coat on the night of Seder? And so the very first thing, think about it. It in fact is the very beginning of the Seder. What's the first stage where the Seder doesn't follow a regular Shabbos and Yom Tov meal? Karpas. Kadesh, Urechatz. Every meal starts. Every Shabbos meal. Every Yom Tov meal starts with Kiddush and washing. Yes, there are people who wash their hands at Urechatz and make a bracha. There are. It's a very interesting halachic topic for another time. Some people, by the way, how many of you does everyone wash their hands for Urchatz? I just want to, anyone? Does everyone wash their hands at Urchatz? Has anyone ever had it that only the person leading the Seder washes their hands for Urchatz? Oh, you do have that? So I remember my grandfather, my mother's father, Abe Vader, remember one time after years of him going away to hotels, he came to me, my grandmother wasn't well, he didn't want to go to hotels, so he came to Springfield for the Seder, and all of a sudden we come to Urchatz. And my kids bring out the washing cups and everyone starts washing. My Zadie looks at me like, what are you doing? I'm like, what do you mean, Zadie? He's like, why is everyone washing? I'm like, it's Urchatz. He says, but my father, his father was a Rebbe in Torah Vadas, only he washed. I'm like, what? I'm like, good thing you're my mother's father, not my father's father. Because then I'd really be in a bad place. Right? But yeah, that's what he said. So I'm always just interested. You've seen such a thing.
My mother's
father. Oh, so really? Okay, same thing. That my mother's father only, so I always find it interesting.
Right, that
could be, yeah, 100%. You never know. The Vassar trigger just didn't bring enough Vassar for everyone to wash twice. That could be. But there is halachic basis of such a minhag. But we know the first thing that really is different is karpas. And in fact, the Gemara in Arvei Pesachim says, why do we do karpas? Kidei sheyishalu atinokes. So the kids should ask. So what's the answer you give the kids? What's the answer you give them? Why do we do karpas? Because Hashem took us out in the spring, green vegetables. First of all, karpas doesn't have to be a green vegetable. Right? I hate to tell you. Most Ashkenazi Jews use potatoes because, as you said, that's where minhagim came from, what you had. Lubavitchers use onions to show that the Balatanya held the raw onion is hadama. Most people say shahakol on a raw onion, but the Lubavitchers dafka use raw onions to show that the bracha is hadama, like the Balatanya. Elizabethans use banana, because that's what Rabbi Teitz, that's what Rabbi Teitz likes to teach people, that banana is hadama. Time I was with him on a bezdin for a gear, and he asked a potential convert right before the mikveh, what bracha to say on a banana? And he said, ha'etz. I'm like, oh man, why didn't your sponsoring rabbi prepare you for Rabbi Teitz's questions? And the guy was so embarrassed, and Rabbi Teitz would just start cracking up. Like, don't worry, now you're never going to forget it. He's like, right, now I'll never forget it, Rabbi, for sure. But it doesn't have to be green. And really, what's the whole message? This is the beginning of the Seder. This is the first thing that Seder is different. This is the first thing, the first stage, where Seder night is different than all other nights. Kadesh Urchatz, every other meal. Karpas, ooh, karpas. Oh, because it was springtime. Who cares? That's an important message to share with your kids. Karpas is springtime? So where's the only time that karpas is found in Tanakh? Where's the word karpas found in Tanakh? Megillas Esther. Very good. In the beginning of Megillas Esther. Chur karpas utcheles. What does it mean over there? Does it mean celery over there? Exactly. Karpas does not mean celery, Chevra. It does not mean celery. What does karpas mean? You know where Rashi quotes Megillas Esther? So where does Rashi quote it? Vayosef, the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev. Yaakov gives Yosef a ksonis pasim, a coat of pasim. What's pasim mean? We know, what does it mean? Technicolor, right? Joseph in the technicolor dream coat. But oh, so not here, right? So the Torah kaf means pasim. But in modern Hebrew, a little bit different. But when you look at pasim, Rashi says, lashon klimelas, it's an expression of a fine woolen garment, kimo, karpas utcheles. Karpas utcheles. Rashi, on the word pasim, describing Yosef's coat, says, you know how you can describe Yosef's coat? With one word, karpas. So now does it come clear? What? It means it's a coat of a fine woolen garment, fine wool. That's what karpas is. Karpas is a fine woolen garment. So now the first step of the Seder, that's unlike any other meal, right? Kadesh, Urchatz, now it's karpas. What's karpas? You're dipping Yosef's coat. And what are you dipping it in? You're not dipping it in tears. What else is a salty liquid? Blood. Don't add red dye. The Christians will have a field day with us, right? Don't do that. But karpas is really about dipping Yosef's coat into blood. And you know what the message to your kids is? You know what message to everyone at the Seder is? You know why we went into Galus? We went into Galus because Yosef and his brothers couldn't get along. You know why we're still in Galus? Because we can't get along. And that's why, how many of you have the minug of eating a hard-boiled egg with salt water as the beginning of Shulchan Aruch? We didn't have that minig. My wife's family has that minig, and it's the favorite minig of Seder night. Oh, everyone pounds it. My wife makes like a tub of the, like literally bowls full. Everyone's pounding that. I mean, it's what happens when you don't eat on Erev Pesach, right? But why do we do that? It's a Ramah. It's a minig of the Ramah. So Reb Matzil Solomon in his Matnas Chaim says, you know why? When else do we eat eggs? What's the only other time of the year when we eat eggs? Erev Tisha B'Av. And you know, based upon the Jewish calendar, you know what night of the week, you know what other holiday shares the same night of the week as Seder night? First night of Tisha B'Av. The first Tisha B'Av night is always the same night of the week as the first night of Pesach. Why? Zakhtar Matthew Solomon, because you know what one of the main messages of Seder night is? One of the main messages of Seder, I think it's the second message. First message, maybe next week, right? I have a shiur on the post on why you told her about the main message of Seder night, the night of, I think, of the love of prayer, or whatever. Well, maybe, we'll see. But Lamaisa, I believe the second most important message of Seder night is that Sinas Chinam is what brought us into Galus. And Seder night, we have to relearn the lesson of Avas Chinam, and we have to set ourselves ready to go back to Eretz Yisrael. That's why, how does Seder night end for Sfardim? Ashkenazim got this thing called Nirtza, right? Which is very entertaining with the sounds of Chag Gadya, right? But you know what? When you look at the original Seder, what was the end of the real Seder? Lashana Haba. What's the other day that ends? What other day in the Jewish calendar ends Lashana Haba? Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, we understand. It's a tefillah. We just expunge all our sins. We just engage in an intensive tshuva process. Hashem, we're ready for redemption. We're ready for gula, Hashem. Shema Yisrael, Hashem, Hashem, kel rachum b'chanun, ki anu amecha. We're ready for redemption. At the end of Yom Kippur, we're pure, ready to go. But on Seder night also, It's a tefillah that we're ready to go. Because on Seder night, we learned the lesson of the Karpas. We learned the lesson of how do we start Magid? We start Magid with the only words. If you end your Seder at Lashon Abba, the only words we say in Aramaic the whole night is Halach Ma'anya. And you realize Halach Ma'anya is in addition to the Seder, because a diaspora Seder experience. They did not say Halach Ma'ani when they had the Karban Pesach. What's the proof? Because at the end of, we say in Halach Ma'ani, we literally say in Halach Ma'ani, Hashata Hachal, Lashon Abba Ba'arad Yisrael, Hashata Avde, Lashon Abba Ba'nei Chorin. One second. If the Seder night is all about freedom, it's all about Malchus, it's all about we're free, why do we start Magid, the heart of Seder night, with what statement? Oh yeah, we're slaves now. Next year we'll be free. What are you talking about? I thought Seder night is cosplay. I thought Seder night is role-playing. Right? Especially Sfaradim, hit each other with the scallions on the head. Right? Put the matzah over your shoulder and run around the table. I don't understand. How are we starting Magid, the heart of the Seder, by saying, Hashata Avde Lashona Haba B'nei Chorin. Hashata Hacha Lashona Haba B'arad Yisrael. And we're saying it in the language of diaspora Judaism. Not Eretz Yisrael Dika Judaism. Because our Seder experience is meant to bring us to a place of Avas Yisrael. To bring us to a place of intensive yearning for the Mashiach and doing whatever it is to bring us to that point. And as we said already, I think, I don't remember when we said it, a couple of weeks ago perhaps, that, and I realize that maybe this is why there are Jews in America. Not only to send Israel money, but because in Eretz Yisrael, Avas Yisrael is such a complicated thing. And it's such an intense thing. The debates that they have, the arguments, the fights. I mean, look, as we said, I have very close people to me on both sides of the debate. Army, no army, sit and learning. When you live in America, you have no daya. You have no right to an opinion. But maybe, just maybe, that just like we believe our Tehillim helps over there, and our tzedakah dollars help over there, and our davening and our learning helps over there, maybe this is the achrayus of Gullah's Jewry. What divides us here? Do you realize how silly it is what divides us here? It's literally narish. It's stupidity. What divides the Jewish community here? Again, I don't want to go off on this, but we could talk about this for a long time. The things that divide us is so narish, is so silly, is so stupid. Eretz Yisrael did very weighty things, and again, I don't have no right to dip my toe into that. None of us do. None of us do. But maybe, just maybe, that this is what we can do here from Gullahs also. That just like our tefillahs impact there, the Avas Yisrael, the groundswell, the intensity of us coming together, of us committing to working on this in a real way, maybe, just maybe, this will help really bring us to that point. Maybe, maybe the Avas Yisrael that we build up here, the Shmiras HaLashon that we're makbid on here, maybe could turn the tide in Eretz Yisrael, the spiritual reality of us all being connected and us being mashpia in that very, very important and holy way. And as Lubavitcher Rebbe says from the Rambam, from the Halach of Shtuyei Yayin, we could go, never forget, we can go from where we are right now within 24 minutes to a Beis HaMikdash bringing Karbanos. If you didn't come for anything else, just to hear that teaching of Lubavitcher Rebbe, share that with your kids. Share that with your family. Within 24 minutes, we can go from wherever we are in the world today to having a Beis HaMikdash ready for Karbanos to be brought. Hashem should help us that we should be able to believe in ourselves, believe that as a Jew we are a miracle. We are totally beyond Teva. We are not bound by nature. Hence we can be mischadish betuvo just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu each and every day. And when we do our mitzvahs, we have to bring that sense of chiddush. We have to bring that ruchnias, not to be stuck in an olam agashmi. Recognizing Yochel Merish Chodesh, the greatness that Aleph Nisan really is. And it's the month of Nisim Galuyim. It's the month of revealed miracles. And Be'ez Hashem, we should be Zochen. Next week, Wednesday, learn somewhere in Eretz Yisrael. Not sure where it'll be. Not sure, but Be'ez Hashem, next week.
Eretz Yisrael somewhere, okay? Who has an apartment big enough? Mine is not.